Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Boy, he's had a very action-packed 48 hours. Brad Hopkins joins us, former Oiler, former Tennessee Titan, current host, SiriusXM NFL. Brad, thanks for joining us tonight. And you were at the Purdue-Ohio State game yesterday where your son caught three catches for 37 yards and a 49-20 beatdown and an upset.
Yeah, he was actually pretty effective, and it was just a great win for the program, really. When you look at, you know, some of the historic situations that happened in Ross State Stadium, I remember looking down at a fan can and saying, you know, this might be, you know, the most historic win in the program's history. Just when you look at, you know, the number two team with a lot of momentum that hadn't been beat to that point, came into Ross State with a lot of confidence and ultimately ended up getting the pace taken away from them early on.
Well, you see the way things started out for them, and just an offer to start the year. And, you know, a lot of people like Brohm, a lot of people like what he had been doing last year. And then it starts off on such a down note, and now they've really started chugging along. Is this just a taste of what he could do at a school like Purdue?
Absolutely. I think that when you look at how the season started, with obviously a divisional opponent that you know, means a lot to start the game. It was on national television. I think game day was there in the house. And to kind of really lose the game in the dramatic fashion that they did, you know, left a bitter taste in their mouth. Then they went on to lose two more, one of which they really shouldn't have lost, I think, to Eastern Michigan. But yet and still, this team hung in there. They still believed in what Jeff was preaching to them. And ultimately, they were able to put it together on the grandest stage, having game day come back to Purdue and actually, you know, put together a stellar performance, you know, in front of the nation.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. Well, I'm certainly pulling for him for the rest of the year, Brad. I got to tell you, and it's not just because your son's on the team, but that's an added bonus. I'll tell you that right now. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. So wild week seven, as it tends to be. Every single week's been nuts. And we're hearing a couple of rumors right now about Hugh Jackson with the Cleveland Browns. I just want to run past you here. Darryl Ryder out of 92.3, the Fan in Cleveland, reported that they're meeting tonight and a meeting of the minds, and we could see some red alert type stuff. That was his quote. When you change out a coach in the middle of the season, what does that do to a football team?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, in my opinion, absolutely nothing. I mean, wow. I'm sure there may be if there's a situation where it has been so egregious, the relationship between the head coach and his team, then it will be a welcome, you know, situation. But unless you're hearing guys that are just grumbling about the relationship, they basically don't feel that he is someone that is in control there and is ultimately not getting the job done, then it'll be easier for them to make that transition. But I haven't heard that from the guys. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm not in that locker room, Ken. I don't know, you know, specifically what's being said and what their relationship is like. But what we can see from the outside, it's not toxic. So basically, when you switch up the situation like that, that's for the fans. I mean, I'm watching television right now, Sunday Night Football, with fans just tired of, you know, the mediocrity that has surrounded this team. But I think that this year they need to look at this differently, because we do see growth from the Cleveland Browns. You know why? Because they should be upset that the Browns lost in Buccaneers land. But this is a team that picked first in the draft like the last two or three years. So why should we have that expectation? Because the team is better, and it's admittedly better. They've already doubled the win total so far. They're not even halfway through the season.
Well, you know, Hugh Jackson was, what, 1-31 coming into this year. If they were going to make a change, should the Browns have made a change then this last offseason?
The Browns should have made a change when they were 1-20. I mean, don't you think that trigger should have been pulled a long time ago? But in fact, he was the actual problem.
Can't argue against it, no.
Yeah, I think that some of the issues can have already been answered. But, you know, this is like a fine wine. And unfortunately, people are so used to the instant stuff that when it does take a little bit of time for it to, you know, to kind of age and become at least that tasteful product that we know is going to sell, you know, sell to the consumer, you know, we're not willing to wait for that moment. But when you've got Baker Mayfield, who obviously adds another dimension to that offense, they drafted Myles Garrett. They drafted the Ward kid out of Michigan. These guys are ultimately playmakers for that defense that will get turnovers and put it back in the hands of Nick Chubb and DJ and Duke Johnson, the guy that led them in rushing last year. This team is starting to be balanced on both sides of the football, but it's going to take a little bit of time for us to really legitimately think about the Browns being a contender.
Brad Hopkins, former NFLer, current host on SiriusXM NFL, joining us on the show. Well, for Baker, and you just mentioned a rookie quarterback, this type of change happens early. You said it didn't have an effect on the team, but could this have an effect on him and his maturation?
I know that Baker Mayfield has experienced a lot of success, but the guy came, he had to pull himself up by his bootstraps to have that success. Sure, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, but this is a guy that also had to transfer to a couple of different schools to find that comfort level, you know, to be able to be considered one of the best quarterbacks in the game. So he's used to kind of being a guy that has been an underdog, you know what I'm saying, that no one has really, you know, really got behind. But when some people are making the analogy between he and the great Drew Brees, there's something to that. This kid's a playmaker, and innately can, he's a leader. Players gravitate towards not only his ability, but his personality, his style, his competitive nature. And that ultimately is going to spark something else in not only, you know, himself, but other teammates.
We've seen the ups and downs, Brad. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show from these rookie quarterbacks. Baker took it on the chin last week, better this week, even in a loss. Sam Darnold was fantastic last week. This week, not so much. Yeah. What can you really glean? Because guys like me, we love to say, we told you so. 7 weeks into this thing, but, hey, I didn't play the game. Brad, I've never been in the locker room. Tell me what's what with a rookie.
Well, the thing is, though, you when you take a gamble and commit yourself to one of these, you know, these high draft picks, you know, there's going to be some aches and pains that come along with the excitement that you know potentially is there, or they wouldn't have been taken that high, right? I kind of liken it to like a big block or something, a little big old sloppy VH. You know, ultimately, you know, when that rascal gets tuned up and really has all the right pieces, the carburetor, the right heads, the thing that's going to make it really be that high power car that can get down that quarter mile track in about, you know, 9 seconds or something, it takes a minute or two for that motor to really be put together and spark like it's supposed to. But the potential is there. So I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to wait and see what this team looks like, maybe with a couple of years of maturation on a Baker Mayfield, on some of the other assets that are young draft pieces. But unfortunately, with all this conversation about Hugh Jackson's exit, I'm not sure he's going to be around to reap the benefits of what he helped put together.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show, former NFLer, current host, SiriusXM NFL. Philadelphia, are they having a bit of a Super Bowl hangover?
That's a good question. I think that really kind of like what what Doug was talking about today, no one believing in them, that's the comfortable position they like to be in. It may be fabricated at this point, but then again, I think they had to have expected the bullseye proverbially to be on their backs, you know, at the beginning of the year, because you won the Super Bowl last year. Albeit you did it with this underdog role persona, you know what I mean, to where really no one really focused on you. But it's different when you win the big show, you know. So I think that it's ultimately hard for a team to kind of be in that position, understand, and be comfortable in that position to be able to repeat. But nowadays, it is a lofty goal to think about winning back-to-back Super Bowls. But it does put a lot of pressure on a team that just won it.
What's going on with Dak Prescott?
Well, think about this. I mean, if you're not trying to do too much, you know, especially in a couple of instances, I mean, who thinks that Dak Prescott's going to fumble on the 1 yard line and have a guy scoop it up and score? You know what I mean? But then again, think what he did after that. Put his team right back in a position to win, right? Went down, put 7 more on the board after giving them the 7, right? And then ended up driving them down, at least position wise enough to make a field goal palatable. I think it was 47 yards, which would have been good had, you know, they had not had the issues with the long snapper, you know, messing with the ball. So ultimately, yeah, you can say that there's a lot of issues that are maybe surrounding this team, but it's not talent, and it's certainly not the quarterback position.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show. Well, could it be Jerry Jones on down? Because I know a lot of people go after Jason Garrett, and I'm thinking, well, Jason Garrett's always standing there in the media. He'll put blame on himself, but how much is he willing to do, or how much is he able to do if Jerry Jones is always going to be lording over his shoulder?
Yeah, I guess there's always something to be worried about, and we've been dealing with that situation ever since we were kids, right? You know, the helicopter dads. You know what I'm saying? Ultimately, that's what Jerry Jones is, the ultimate helicopter dad, especially when it comes to his head coaches. But at the end of the day, Jason Garrett just does what? He wants his players to just do their job. Nothing more, nothing less. And maybe sometimes Jerry, in his prognostication about the greatness of his team, puts more pressure on the guys to be at that level. And it does clarify the dysfunction sometimes. But at the end of the day, Jason Garrett's a good coach. He's a great coach. He knows exactly what it takes to win. And when you get the right players in mind that can, you know, do those things similarly, especially when you come to, like, you know, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, the players that we know that they've drafted lately that can make plays, it'll come together.
Do you agree with Mike Vrabel going for the win earlier today?
Heck yeah, absolutely. First of all, because he's a Titans coach. No, I'm just kidding. I won't be that shallow about it. But think about it. I mean, no one of them wants to tie. We've seen a lot of tie situations, a lot of overtime situations this year. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, everyone's scared to lose. But who's willing to do what it takes to win? There's a difference there. I think that Mike Vrabel, coming from his old school philosophy and coming from the tree of Bill Belichick, he doesn't want to not lose. He wants to go out there and win. And that's ultimately why he made the decision. I was trying to not go all Herm Edwards and he plays to win the game. But ultimately, they're saying the same thing.
Well, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? Are the Chargers in the perfect spot because they're 5-2 and no one's talking about them because of Kansas City?
Well, shoot, Melvin Gordon's been doing a heck of a job, hasn't he? And every time I keep hearing the word Philip Rivers, what precedes that? Future Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? I think that he's really kind of, you know, taking on that mantra. He is the old man river now of the entire West Coast. And he gets to play in the backyard of Los Angeles. You know what I mean? So he's not the favorite son of L.A. by any stretch, nor is his franchise. But they're playing like it. And he's got some familiar faces around him to boot, too. So, shoot, what happens when they get Joey Bosa really hitting on all cylinders? I mean, the guy's just gotten back and has already been an impact player, but he and Melvin Ingram have been doing a phenomenal job. And if Melvin Gordon is the guy that we can see them really answering the bell when it comes to running the football, shoot, Phillip Rivers ain't got nothing to worry about.
Brad Hopkins joining us on the show, current host, SiriusXM NFL, also former Oiler and Titan. Well, they just moved. Now, you dealt with a team that was moving. I don't know if distraction's the word. How difficult is it to deal with it?
Oh, I will say this. Our situation was unique in that we were moving from the fourth largest market kid to like the 35th largest market. You know what I mean? Nashville did have celebrity, but it just weren't athletes. You know, they were more musicians, artists, things of that nature. But here's a situation where you have St. Louis, you have San Diego, moving to the second largest media market in the country. You know what I mean? Which therefore goes a parceling of all the things that you can do in beautiful Southern California, you know? But at the end of the day, sometimes that change, sometimes just doing something different in your routine, it could spark something that you never saw. You know what I mean? Maybe even within yourself. So I think that, you know, just maybe embarking on a new situation sometimes can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be anxious, you know? But at the end of the day, as long as they get the support that they need, both of these franchises are doing pretty well for themselves, and they're not even really in their new digs yet.
If you were Jacksonville, would you trade for a quarterback right now?
Man, people are so quick to just dump on Blake Bortles, aren't they? But Cody Kessler,
it's hard not to. Well, gosh,
I know. Oh, but there's a quarterback out there, isn't there? He's available. In playoff situations, you know what I'm saying? Won some games. Matter of fact, he went to Gillette Stadium and won as a second-year guy. So he's out there if you're looking for him. Guess who's willing to pull the trigger?
Wait a minute. Who are you talking about?
I don't know. I don't know who am I talking about.
Name names, Brad. I'm not, because for a second I thought you were going to say Eli, and I was going to whoop it up.
No, the same guy that Malcolm Jenkins and Eric Reed got in the fight over today in the pregame.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, you know where I stand on it, and that makes sense. But here we are. Brad Hopkins joining us on the show.
Did you just say that Eli was an option?
I thought so.
Yet. I mean,
well, wait. No, hold on. If you're Tom Coughlin, Blake Bortles is just, and I know his teammates seem to like him from what we hear, but it's not cutting the mustard right now. And at 3-4, you got Houston going right past you here. This is difficult. This is becoming untenable at this position here. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And you're thinking, okay, if you take a young QB, then that all of a sudden resets the clock. Now you got yourself a problem over here. I don't know. I don't think it's the craziest notion. Maybe you think it's crazy. Talk me out of it.
I understand a relationship. I understand when you have a level of success with two people that understand each other, it seems easier to kind of make that relationship work. But let me ask you this, Ken. You think that ODB acts out like this if Tom Coughlin is still holding that job that he held up there in New York?
No.
No, absolutely not. So there needs to be some stepping up as far as corralling the toxic environment that seems to surround this team. Because at the end of the day, their issues are not talent. Their issues are between the ears, or the ear holes, if you will, when they get on the football field. You know what I'm saying? They need to be on the same page. And you can't have your star players talking about your other star players on national television. That never works out good. Neither does airing your dirty laundry to people that only understand half of what you're saying. You understand? So I think that when you look at some of the things that are going on around Eli Manning, it's easy to lay blame to the quarterback because he is the most identifiable person on the football field. But at the end of the day, there are 10 other dudes that are out there with him, all right?
I totally agree. Brad, you make a ton of sense. Unfortunately, I got to cut it short now. I appreciate the time, my friend. I will have you again if you're open to it. Thank you very much.
Until next time, buddy. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.